13th chapter of the book of Matthew, 24th verse. And another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Will thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. But another parable spake he unto them, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend in them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. All right. I think maybe I'll read the 44th, 45th, and 47th verse to finish getting over the thought that we had here. He said again, The kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea, and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore, and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth, and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Reading about the pearl of great price reminds me somewhat of this trip we just took, where I wrote a song on this trip called The Pearl of Great Price. I got the board up here, and I may refer to the board a little bit in saying a few things tonight, but if not, I want it up there just in case I should. Now, I believe in salvation, folks. I mean, I'm honest about my feelings and my convictions. I'm not double-minded. I'm not trying to go two or three ways. I state what I believe. It's my conviction. And I believe that there is a devil. And I believe that there is a terror. And I believe that the devil has come into this world and that he has sown terrors in this world. And I believe that men like this one that just passed off of the scene, I believe they are terrors. And I believe that there's hundreds and thousands of more terrors that's in the earth just like him. That the devil himself sowed in the earth to cause problems and to cause trouble in the world and in the religious body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus tells us here that this will continue, that there'll be a continuation of this kind of thing until the end of the world. He said, but in the end of the world, I will send forth some reapers. And those reapers will begin to gather the harvest. And he tells us here that in the gathering of the harvest, that is, the reapers come forth, the first thing that they will do, that they will gather together the tares. That's the first thing that they'll do. I said the other night, that is where the church world is making a drastic mistake. They have the feeling that Christ is coming forth and that the reapers is coming forth, and they're coming forth to gather together the church. And all of this thing that they see out there that's called revival, it is their conviction that that is the great revival of God that is sweeping the earth, and that the reapers have come to get the church. But I want you to know that a lot of that is going on out there has not been Christ sending the reapers for the church. But instead of that, it has been the tares that Christ has sent the reapers together. The reapers have come forth to gather the tares. And a lot of those things out there that you see, that is the tares. He has gathered those tares together, and he is putting them into different bundles. He's putting them into Methodist bundles. He's putting them into Baptist bundles. He's putting them into Pentecostal bundles and Church of God bundles and UPC bundles and Catholic bundles. He's putting them together in bundles called the Woodsmans of the World and the Masons and all the other societies of life. He is bundling them together, and they're just as religious as they can be. But according to the Bible teaches that God will send forth the reapers, gather the tares and bind the tares into bundles, and then cast them into the furnace of fire. And then Christ will send forth for the harvest and gather the harvest or the wheat into his garners. So then it is a true fact that those people are getting together, and there will be a national, an international, a great confederation of churches, and that great confederation of churches and nations will gather those bundles and tares into their great society, just exactly like the death of Elvis Presley is doing, that hundreds of thousands of people will come together in those bundles. Elvis Presley and the rock and roll was a bundle, and a big bundle. I think you'll agree with that. It was a bundle and a big bundle, and he gathered together a big bundle of tares. Now, so then it is a true fact that God has sent them to gather them together. The reason that our president and leaders of this world are praising the people that mourn the death of Elvis Presley and Elvis Presley is because they are of the same evil nature and of the same bundle of tares. That's all. And they are praising them that they might get their followers and get their hands on their money. That's what it is. They are afraid to stand up and raise their voice up against the evils of this world because they're afraid they'll get demoted. They're afraid that the people will take them off of their perch. But the Bible said promotion comes from God. Amen. God raises up one and God puts down another. You don't have to go out there and humble your soul to the devil to get promoted. Daniel stood up for God, and God made him the president over the wise men of the kingdom. The Hebrew children stood for God, and God raised him up and put him over the affairs of the king. Isn't that right? Now, God is the one that has his way. God creates the good, and God creates the evil. And God has his way in both, and God works all things after the counsel of his own will. And so then, we fail to look at the thing in the right way. Our presidents and leaders of this world, they compromise with sin and they compromise with evil to get the favor of the people. And there's little doubt in my mind that the Catholic Church will make Elvis Presley a saint before it's over. Might be dead for a few months, but they'll get around to it. Now, you know, to show you how warped up people can get in their thinking, You take men like John Dillinger, Babyface Nelson, Machine Gun Kelly, Billy the Kid, all of those men that were vicious killers. All of those people that was killers. Does people praise them? They say they were wretched men. But John Dillinger, though he was a cold-blooded murderer, a killer, he never done one third of the evil that Elvis Presley done. He never injured mankind one third of what Elvis Presley did. Elvis Presley corrupted the whole earth. And John Dillinger never did one third that bad, but they call him a wretched man. If he's a wretched man, how much more people who corrupt the earth, how much more are they wretched? You say, I don't believe they're wretched. The Bible even speaks of the church world. Said the last generation is coming would be wretched and blind and miserable. Isn't that right? How much more men that lead people into the furnace of fire, how much more wretched are they? The Bible said, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. Elvis Presley and his kind leads people into captivity. They lead them into bondage, into evil. And they're bound as tares, in bundles of tares. And God said, because you led the people into evil and into bondage, said, I'll lead you into evil and I'll lead you into bondage. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, I don't believe God would lead anybody into evil. But the Bible said, pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Is that right? God will lead you into evil. If you love a lie and you practice a lie, and people tell you the truth, God sends his minister to tell you the truth, and you still love that corruption, you still love your way, you still love the things of the world, God will lead you into evil, my brother. He will let you believe a lie and be damned. He will let you think that Elvis Presley is the right kind of man, that Ricky Nelson is the right kind of man, that those stars out there like John Wayne, the others that's corrupted the earth, are the right kind of men. Women like Marilyn Monroe are the right kind of women. Elizabeth Taylor, been married 7 times, the right kind of woman. The devil will let you think that they're the right kind of people. Did you know that? And because your president's religious, that he's the right kind of person. Because you had not a love for the truth and didn't listen to the word of God and didn't respect God's word, God will let you believe a lie and be damned. Let you believe that is the truth when it's wrong. But I thank God for people that are not mixed up. There is some people in the earth that are not mixed up. They don't have 2 or 3 thoughts about it. They just have one thought. A lot of people, they can't call black black and white white. The Bible said, woe unto that man that calls evil good and good evil. Woe unto Jimmy Carter and all the rest of them that called evil good. The Bible said, woe unto them. One woe cometh and then another woe cometh. We've got to call wrong, wrong. We've got to call good, good, or else the people will be mixed up. They will be confused, and God doesn't like for us to confuse his people. Folks, there is a God. How many of you know there's a God? There's a real, true, living, genuine God that's looking down out of heaven, that's running this thing down here. Jimmy Carter's not running this. The Queen of England's not running it. George Pike's not running it. Elvis Presley wasn't running it. God's running it. And he's in heaven and he's looking down on the earth and he sees your evil thinking. He sees your corrupt way of life. He sees your admiration for the devil and that which does not belong to you and which is not given to you. And so then God has sent forth the reapers to gather together the tares. And they're gathering together the great bundle of tares to where that they can be bound into bundles and cast into the furnace of fire. How many believe there's a furnace of fire? Cast into the burning furnace of fire. I don't want to be cast into the fire, do you? I want to go the way God goes. I don't have any part with the fire. But there is people that's going to be cast into a furnace of fire. And all of this crazy talk about praying people out of purgatory, because that's what it is. All of the foolishness about praying people out of hell, there ain't nothing to it. The people that take your money that is out in the world to pray people out of hell, those people are going to hell with the people that are in hell. The blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. You wouldn't think people in the world would be so foolish as to believe that you could give somebody money and pray a loved one out of hell. But they are. They're just that foolish. God has turned them over to a reprobate mind to believe a lie and to be damned because they don't want to obey the Word of God. The Word of God tells them how they got to forsake their evil ways, get rid of the filth of the world, get rid of their filthy televisions and their filthy movies and their filthy ways of life and their filthy societies, and they don't want to do it. And God's turned them over to a reprobate mind to believe a lie, to be a bunch of sex perverts. Let me tell you something, folks. Did you know we made the statement, it's been a number of years ago, quite a number of years ago. I said when the Lord Jesus returns to this earth, he will find people completely disrobed. The Bible said Adam and Eve was naked and they were completely disrobed. And in the end time, I said that God will find them the same way. And Brother James, this very day, Brother Torrance brought me a clipping from the paper. You couldn't hardly believe it if you read it. But the beaches, certain beaches, have been given completely to people to strip off so that they can be completely nude. The beaches have been given for that purpose. Not only that, but it's stated that a hotel that a man couldn't fill up, couldn't keep, couldn't make money off of, said what few he had in it, all he had to do was run them out. Just fix the thing just right and turn it over to the nudist and they filled it up. And they made the statement that it is so bad that they even predict that we're going to have a country of nudists. A country of nudists. Somebody said to them, evil, devilish people. Now, ain't that something? Ain't that something? I've heard the old saying, the pot saying to the skillet, you're black. Ain't that something? You run down along the beach in bathing suits. Get down in bathing suits, you ain't as good as they are. I know somebody ain't like that. I said, you're running along in bathing suits, you ain't as good as they are. At least they're extreme and they're letting the world know what they're doing. You're a hypocrite. Running down there in your bathing suits, half naked. That's where it all come from. Where did the nudists come from? It's from you that started running around in bathing suits and thought it was all right. And after you finally killed your conscience and realized that there wasn't anybody that was going to object to it, you finally just stripped off everything and just become a nudist. That's where it comes from. When people run around in bathing suits, they're on their way to hell. I don't care if it's Jimmy Carter. I don't care if it's the governor. I don't care who it is. They're on their way to hell. Now, you say someday somebody will stop your mouth. I'll tell you, they won't get it stopped till I say a whole lot. Praise God, they might stop it, but before they stop it, I'll get a whole lot said. They stop Peter's mouth and they stopped Stephen's mouth and they stopped the others' mouth and they railed on them and killed them because they knew that they spoke against their evil. Jesus said, you hate me because I witness and testify that your deeds are evil. That's why you hate me. If I was of the world, Jesus said, you love me. But you're wicked. You go out there and stroll up and down the beaches half naked. Go out here and stroll up and down your lawns with shorts on and all of these other form-fitting clothes. Jesus said, a wicked, evil, adulterous generation. That's what it is. Go out here and marry a half a dozen times and get mixed up in double marriage. You say, what do you think about that? I think you're going to go to hell. Like the couple that sat down there the other day, I said, the thing that you need to do, man, is get back to your wife. Sitting there, two of them together, and they wanted me to give my blessings on their marriage. I said, let me tell you something. I said, if I give my blessings on what you're going to do, I'll go to hell and you'll go to hell and we'll all go to hell together. I said, I ain't about to do it. I said, what you need to do is get back with your wife and get back with your family. And that woman started to bawling. Just started to bawling, tears just streaming. I said, lady, let me tell you something. I said, I imagine his wife is bawling too. I said, I imagine it hurt her too.
I said, she cried too, but he belongs to her, not you. And I said, sir, that's what you need to do is get back with your people. Let me tell you something, folks. I don't know where we get the idea just because a couple of people hook up together that God has okayed it. I don't know where we get that. Let me tell you something. If you go with a woman or a woman with a man, I don't care if you stay together 50 years. You are a couple of adulterers and fornicators. And God is going to send you to hell. You're not married. It doesn't matter if the judge said you're married. It doesn't matter if some hypocrite preacher said you're a man and wife. You're on your way to hell, to the furnace of fire. There ain't but one thing for you to do, and that's straighten up. You say, what can I do, Brother Pike? If you did not put your wife away for the cause of fornication, you better go back and get straightened out, because she's still your wife, and the woman is bound by the laws of her husband so long as he liveth. Somebody said, well, then, Brother Pike, that don't mean them people out there in sin. I'd love for somebody to show me that in the Bible. They'll come over and they'll come to God, and then when they come to God, they'll say, well, that didn't mean when I was out in sin. Say, well, when you was out in sin, say, what did you do when you was out? Well, I married about 3 or 4 women out there, but I know that don't mean nothing because I was out in sin. Who told you that didn't mean anything? Where in the Bible did you ever read that didn't mean anything? The Bible said you even look at a woman and lust after you've committed adultery. I have people sitting here in this audience that look at men and women both and commit adultery in their heart. They need to go be with them if they're going to be an adulterer and a fornicator. They need to leave the one they got and go be with them and just be that. If I wanted another and I'd just leave my wife and go get me another one, I wouldn't play around about it, be a hypocrite about it. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. Ain't no need to be a hypocrite and set under a cloak of maliciousness and set as a child of God. And do that. One of the churches had the audacity not too long ago to tell the people, said, now if you separate, don't run off from the church. Come on back over here and be with us. And if you marry somebody else, you come back over here. Don't run off and leave us now. Let me tell you, children of God, I want you to listen at me. Adultery is adultery. Fornication is fornication. It don't matter whether you are a sinner or whether you are a Christian. Jesus said, what I say to one, I say to everybody. I say to all of you, if I say it to the Christian, I say it to the sinner. He said, let whosoever will, didn't he? And he said, whosoever putteth away his wife, whosoever does it. It didn't say if a religious person does it. It said if any of you, and said what I'm saying to one of you, I'm saying it all of you, Pharisees, scribes, all of you. Said, you put away your wife, saving it be for the cause of fornication, and you marry somebody else, you are an adulterer. What will an adulterer do? The Bible said in the book of Revelation, the adulterer will go into the furnace of fire. Now that's the gospel. If you'll take heed to your soul, young people, you young girls and young boys, if you'll listen at me, and if you'll live with your wife, or if you want to marry one, get the one you want and live with them. You won't be mixed up in all that stuff, and you won't have a miserable life, and you won't die and go to hell. But just as long as that companion lives in this world, if that companion did not commit adultery, you are a fornicator and you are an adulterer, and you will go to hell if you shut your eyes in death. Brother Pike can't save you, and Brother Roberts can't save you, and Billy Graham can't save you, and nobody else can't save you. Because that's what the Bible teaches. All right, how are we saved? We are saved by faith in the Word of God. And the writer said, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my believing by obeying the Word that the faith came from. By my works, is that right? All right, so he sent his word and healed. And then it's faith in his word that saved us. Now, if we're going to stand for the truth, if we're going to stand for the gospel, we've got to stand for it when it's our son. We've got to stand for it when it's our daughter. We've got to stand for it when it's our children. When it's our mothers and when it's our daddies and when it's our loved ones. when it's our senators, when it's our presidents, when it's our leaders and our judges and our officers, we've got to stand for it. Wrong is wrong. Adultery is adultery. Sin is sin. God didn't cut no corners just because it was your son, just because it was my son, just because it was my loved ones or your loved ones. God didn't cut no corners. Just because you said I was out there in sin and I didn't know no better, and I come over here and I got straightened out and God doesn't think anything about it. Yes, God does think something about it. You say, but Brother Pike, I come and got straightened out with God after I did that. If you'd have got straightened out with God, you'd have took that woman back to where she belonged. That's what you'd have done if you'd have got straightened out with God. Somebody said, but we got children. In the days of Nehemiah, they said, we got children. He said, put away them strange wives. They said, but we got children. He said, still put them away. They don't cut no ice with God. All right, so wrong is wrong, sin is sin. You love Jesus? I'm talking about going to heaven, folks. I'm talking about something that'll do when you go to die. Faith in the Word of God that'll take you over. Think of the angry God. When we stand before God, think about the angry God. Now, I want you to think about that. Did God say that there would be a sinful and an adulterous generation? Did God say that? Did He say that? Just before the coming of the Lord, did He say there would be a sinful and an adulterous generation? Is this a sinful and an adulterous generation? Is it? People don't even marry anymore. They just live together. What is it? It is an adulterous generation. The whole generation's gone adulterous. Now, do you think Christ is going to save them? He said they will be adulterous, they will be wretched, they will be miserable, they will be blind, they will be lukewarm. I'll spew you out of my mouth, He said. Now you say, well, what do you mean by that? I mean that if God said there was going to be an adulterous generation, then there's an adulterous generation. If it is an adulterous generation and the Bible said the adulterer will go to hell, it means a generation going to hell. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. All flesh had corrupted their way before God. All right. Now, I just want to be sure we understand each other. It is an adulterous generation. Somebody said, Brother Pike, I need to counsel with you. Say, why come you need to counsel with me? I need to counsel with you and find out if I'm an adulterer. You don't need to counsel with me to find out if you're an adulterer. If you married somebody when you was already married to somebody else, and that somebody else that you was married to did not commit adultery and you put them away anyway and married somebody else, you are an adulterer. And you are on your way to hell. You don't have to counsel about it. That's what the Bible said. Now, I know and realize that there are some cases of marriage that's complicated. I realize that. And I'll do all I can to help you understand. But remember one thing. If you come down to the parsonage and you ask me what you can do, I'm going to tell you the truth. Now remember that. Just like I told that couple. It broke their heart. And the woman bawled. But I said, let me ask you something. I said, had you rather your feelings be hurt? And you rather you deny your passions a little bit? And go to heaven? Or you'd rather me honor your passions and your tears and let you go to hell? Or do you want to accept God's word and face the situation and go to heaven by me telling you the truth? Now, you said, Brother Pike, that's cruel. You sit there and break them people's heart. Folks, let me ask you a question. What kind of evaluating is that? What kind of judging is that? That I'm cruel because I tell them people that. What if I tell them the other way around and sit there knowing that they're going to go into a furnace of fire? And throughout the eternities, they're going to burn in a furnace of fire. To me, that's what's cruel. The devil loves the things of the flesh. The preachers of this world that follow the devil, that's anointed of the devil, that's set in the body out yonder for the devil's sake, they'll tell you to go on, and it's all right. Go on and get mixed up in a marriage. I said, we don't want to harm you. We don't want to hurt you. Go on. And after a while, they got children. And after a while, they're balled up like a spider in a web. Because they didn't tell them the truth about it. But I'm telling you the truth about it. Now, I believe this. When you are out in the world of sin, if you marry or don't marry, and you abuse yourself with one another, I don't believe that it's any worse than any of the rest of your sins, in the sense that you are a sinner and you're on your way to hell and you're going to go to hell. If you are a sinner, then why worry about it? Because if you are a sinner anyway, you're on your way to hell. If you want to marry a dozen times, don't worry about it, because you're going to go to hell anyway. If you marry one time or 50 times, if you don't never marry but one time, if you're not born again, you're going to go to hell. So why worry about it, whether you're in adultery or not? Now, people out in the world that's in sin, they'll say, I want to know whether or not I'm in adultery. What difference does it make? You're on your way to hell anyway. I've told him, I said, what difference does it make whether you're an adulterer or not? No need for us to bother to find out about you. You're on your way to hell anyway. But now if you want to straighten up your life and you want to live right, that's a different story. If you want to come to the Lord Jesus and you want to get the counsel of God and get the word of the Lord about it and straighten up your life, that's a different situation. You might have some restitution in your life. You might have some undoing to do. You might have some putting together to do. Before you ever get right with God. You love Jesus? What would you do if you killed a man? Murdered a man? Murdered the woman? And left five or six little children bawling? And then you finally come to your senses and you got right with God and God forgave you and the law let you off. What would you do? And them five little children been left to the world. What would you do? If you had one bit of God, you'd go back and find them five kids. And if there's any way in the world to make restitution, you'd work for the rest of your life to take care of them. If you didn't, you'd be a wretch. Not the way it is with God. When you get married, folks, and remarried and all these kind of things, you know, it don't make any difference if somebody says, that's your wife over here and we give you a divorce from this woman. The court stand up, the judge will set up there and he'll say, now I give you a divorce from this woman. You don't have to worry about her anymore. I'll give you a divorce from this man. You don't have to worry about him anymore. You go get you another one. You know what's going to happen? You're going to go to hell and that judge is going to go to hell. All of you is going to go to hell. Because God said, let no man, not even the judge, set asunder what I bound together. Let him leave it alone. Who told the judge he had the right to do that anyway? Who told the justice of the peace he had a right to do that? Ain't nobody got a right to bind people together but the preacher. The Bible said, whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. You're not married to begin with when justice of the peace and judges do that. You're supposed to be a preacher. You're not a hypocrite, but a preacher. You love Jesus? I'll tell you what, people use more discretion now and more consideration in buying an automobile than they do in getting a wife or finding out about who put them together as man and wife. They're more touchy about whether they're going to get a Ford or Chevrolet or whether it's going to have a good motor or bad one or got good tires or not, more so than they are about marrying and knowing who put them together. Some people just as bad in this world about baptism. They don't care if a woman baptizes them, if a man baptizes them, if a hypocrite baptizes them. They don't care if a devil baptizes them, as long as they get baptized. But folks, let me tell you something. There's people in this world that's got authority from God. And you've got to go by the way of those authorities. And if you don't go by the way of those authorities, it's not right. Somebody says, well, I don't believe that. All right, I'll tell you what you do. You got a little something you want to do, and you need to see a lawyer about it. Don't bother to see the lawyer. Just go over and see Brother Taylor, Brother Lyman, or Brother Jerry over here. Don't bother to go see the law about it. Just get their opinion of it. And then go on and do what you want to do. But I'm going to tell you, you might get a visitor in a few days. And you might find out that just going to them wasn't as good as going to a lawyer over a lawful matter. Did you know that? If you're going to do a lawful thing, you better get some lawful advice and you better go by an authority and find out who can give you the lawful advice. Just going to anybody won't do.
He's a lawyer. He studied to be a lawyer, and the world and the law accepts his word and advice as law because he goes by the book. And that's the way it is in the gospel. God's got men that are ministers, and they go by the book, and they have to tell you according to the book. You know, let me tell you something. A judge can't just sit there and just say, well, I think you're a good fella, and I know you just killed 10 people, but after all, I'm going to let you off. He can't do that. The book says different. It reads different in the book. There is a law that is against murderers. There is a law that is against theft. There is a law that says you must pay the penalty, and the judge can't change the law. I've talked to some of the judges. And I said, why don't you change that? He said, Mr. Parker, I can't change that. I said, why come you can't change it? You're the judge. He said, listen. He said, it's wrote in the book like that. That's the law. And said, all I can do up here is just, said, I don't make the law. He said, I just enforce the law. And he said, I believe he said, three options here. Said, every bit of it centers around the same law. That I can give a little leniency here. Or I can make it a little easier here, or let you off for a little period of time. But said, when it boils down to it, it's the law, and you broke the law, and that's the way it's got to be. And that's the way it is, folks. You can't just find a preacher out here under a tent or on television or because he joined the Baptist or the Methodist or the Presbyterian Church and went to college somewhere and say, well, he's the preacher. If he says it's all right, it's all right. It's not all right. If the book doesn't say it's all right, that man's a liar. And he's broke the Bible, and he's broke the law, and the judge, and all of them go to hell. So then the law says in God's word, he said, if you marry another woman when you already got a living wife, you are an adulterer. You will go to hell. So then, folks, there is a generation. I'm going to talk to you just a few more minutes and then close. I was wanting to bring out some revelation, but maybe we'll get to bring that out maybe Sunday. But I want you to think this over. If there is a law, then we got to go by it. If this law condemns Elvis Presley, then he's condemned. If it condemns George Pike, he's condemned. If it condemns you, you're condemned. And the Bible said, think not that I've come to judge you, even the words that I speak, which is the law. The same shall judge you in the last day. You say, but Brother Pike, you don't really believe that God's going to take the law back there and judge us. I certainly do. You will be judged by the same law that Moses brought and be condemned to hell because God does not change. Not one jot and a tittle of the law will pass away. You say, but Brother Pike, we're under grace. But the Bible said, they that are fallen from grace are under the law and shall be judged by the law because transgression is of the law. Sin is the transgression of the law. And everyone that transgresses the law is a sinner and must perish by the law. But then when it comes to they that are born again, they that have given themselves to Christ, they that have done the right thing, they're not under the law. They're under grace, and they don't have to answer to the law. They're free from the law. Dead to the law by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, baptized in his lovely name, buried with him in death. And the Bible said as many as been baptized into Christ and put on Christ. Not you living, but Jesus. You love the Lord? Let me say just a word or two more. I like I was saying to some of the brethren the other night, let's just consider it for just a few minutes. How many got just a few minutes to consider a few more things? Now, the Bible saying that every sin that a person commits is without the body. Isn't that right? Every sin that you commit is without your body. When you sin a sin, it's without your body. If you murder a man, if you steal a car, no matter what you do, Paul said every sin that you commit is without your body, which has to do with a spiritual thing. We don't have time to go into. But he said every sin that you sin is without your body except for the sin of fornication. He said the sin of fornication is not without your body. But said he that sinneth the sin of fornication, he sinneth against his body. Now the Bible says that the woman is bone of your bone And she is flesh of your flesh. And the Bible said no man ever hated his own flesh, but he nourishes his flesh. And the Bible said he that loveth his wife loveth his own body, because she is his own body. So when you sin the sin of fornication, you sin against your wife, which is your own body and your own flesh. There's no other sin like that, where a man would sin against his own body. Now, if that is true, how bad is that in the sight of God? It is a terrible thing. That's why the penalty is so severe on it. The Bible said, deal not treacherously with the wife of thy youth. God calls it treacherous doings. For God hateth putting away. When you put away the wife of your youth, the one you married as a young man, she's called the wife of your youth, your first marriage. A lot of people say, well, Moses gave him a writing of a divorcement. I know that Moses did, but I bring this back to your mind again. The Bible said Moses gave them a writing of divorcement because of the hardness of their heart. In other words, God said, Moses, you've got thousands and thousands of people, and you're going to have them railing on you and stoning you to death, and you won't be kept alive to do what I've got for you to do in carrying the children to the Canaan land. I've trained you 40 years in the wilderness out here, and I'd have to take another man and spend another 40 years training him if they killed you. And I trained you 40 years before I ever sent you down there to get them people. I trained you 40 years with the Egyptians to learn their ways in 40 years out here. And I got to keep you alive. I can't afford to lose you. Said, give them a writing of divorcement before they stone you to death. So he did. God said, go ahead, Moses, it won't be long, and I'll have this thing straightened out, and I'll burn every one of them in hell. I'll open up the earth and swallow every one of them up. But you just go ahead right now. So when Jesus come along, they said, Lord, said Moses gave him a writing of divorcement. He said, I know that he did. Said he gave it to him because of the hardness of their heart. They wouldn't listen. They wouldn't repent. They wouldn't honor what Moses said. He said, but it wasn't so from the beginning. God never did that. In the beginning, God made Adam, God made Eve, and he gave Eve one husband. And he gave Adam one wife. That's all that he gave him. And Moses was an example to him. Moses didn't have no two or three wives. He was an example to them. Finally, God killed all of them and raised their children up and took them into the promised land. And folks, that's exactly what God's going to do. He's giving them a writing of divorcement. He said, go ahead, preachers, let them have a writing of divorcement. But at the end of the age, I'm going to take my little flock in and burn every last one of them in hell with all of the preachers and the judges and all of them that gave them the writings. Somebody say amen. The law cannot be broken without paying a penalty, and the law said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Is that right? Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Brother Pike, you don't have any right to look on another man's wife and covet her or desire her. If you do, you're an adulterer. He says to the woman, you don't have any right to look on another woman's husband and desire him or covet him. You're an adulterer if you do it. To cast down your thoughts, every thought, every imagination, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, even to the intent of the heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. Don't try to reason it out. Take what the Word says about it. If you try to reason it out, every man's ways is right in his own eyes. I hear people, I never got so sick of nothing in my life. You go to try to talk to somebody about God, they'll say, well, that's your religion. That's the way you believe, but I don't believe like that. That's the silliest thing I ever heard of. The way you believe, and I don't believe like that, and you've got your religion, I got mine. There ain't no such a thing in the world. That's craziness. The Word of God is religion. The Word of God is God's way. It don't matter what you think of your grandma, your granddaddy, or my grandma, or my granddaddy. It's what God said about it. God said you must repent of your sins and be born again or go to hell. Somebody say, you sound like you're a little upset, Brother Pike. I guess maybe I am. And as the days go on, I've got a feeling that God's ministers are going to get a little more upset when presidents like Jimmy Carter stand up and and praise somebody that's been a sex maniac in their lifetime and cause other people to turn into sex maniacs, rock and roll the world up and take millions of dollars to do it. It's time the children of God and the sons of God stood up for something. All right, stand up. Somebody will take your head off, Brother Pike. Well, let them start chopping. Whenever they get ready, I'm ready. Oh, you talk big now, but just wait. Well, if I wait, I won't be able to talk big because they'll chop it off. So we'll say, let them do it now, if they want to do it. I still believe it's a foolish thing for anybody to sit and talk about somebody in saying, this is my religion and that's your religion. There ain't but one godly religion, and that's holiness. And everything else will be turned into hell. Everything. Whether Jimmy Carter preaches it, or Billy Graham preaches it, or Oral Roberts preaches it, or George Pike preaches it, or David Terrell preaches it, or anybody else preaches it. If Rex Humbard preaches Elvis Presley into heaven, then God will put Rex Humbard in hell with Elvis Presley. All right, folks. Then it's time to stand up for Jesus. The song said, stand up for Jesus. Somebody said, but I'm afraid, Brother Pike, if I do that, nobody won't listen at me. Well, bless your heart. Ain't that something? God said, go preach the gospel to every creature. You're afraid that if you preach the truth, ain't nobody going to listen at you. Or ain't that something? Somebody said, I lose all my followers, Brother Pike. I tell you what, the men of old didn't just lose their followers, they lost their head. What about them? I said, they didn't just lose the shouting girls and the boys that wanted to be Hollywood evangelists. They lost their heads for it. And Stevens was stoned to death for it. Why did they kill Stevens? Why, was he preaching a Hollywood sermon or an evangelist, Hollywood evangelist sermon? No, he wasn't doing that. He said, you stiff neck and uncircumcising heart. He said, you do err. Always you err like your fathers do, so do you. Said, every prophet God ever sent you, you killed him. Every wise man, you killed him. He said, you're stiff-necked people. Come on, folks. That's why they got the heads chopped off. Old Brother John came and he didn't preach a Hollywood evangelist sermon. He said, you generation of vipers. He said, who told you to run away from the wrath of God? He said, you better repent of your sins. Is that right? Jesus come along and said, a generation of vipers. Is that right? Turned over the money tables and popped the whips and said, get out of here. Said, you polluted my father's house and you made it a den of thieves. I got a feeling he'd do the same thing today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's like the Methodist people. The Methodist people have left the old landmarks of God and a lot of them turned out to be reprobates. But I'll tell you what, if old John Wesley could come back and preach one revival, we'd have new move of Methodism. I'll guarantee you, if John Wesley could come back on the scene when he got through turning out the Methodists that didn't belong in the Methodists, he'd have a little flock. I'll guarantee you, when he narrowed them down to his sermons, the ones that started the Methodist movement. You can frown at me, look at me like you don't like it, but you can't do nothing about it. You're going to go to hell with the others for even resenting and finding fault with me. I know you're here. You come regular. But there's a path, beaten path, that leads to hell that you're going to walk. But I'm telling you the truth. Old time, wonderful Holy Ghost preaching. Glory to God, the kind that'll clean you up and make you the right kind of folks. Hallelujah. You love Jesus? All right, let's stand together. Folks, it's going to take clean living to get to heaven. You're going to have to live clean and get away from this foolishness and baby stuff, all of this playing around, and get down to business and realize that this is a serious thing. When the president gives an order out of Washington, you don't just sit there and say, well, you got your idea about it, president, and I got my idea about it. And the sheriff comes out and said, the president of the United States says it's got to be like this. Say, well, sheriff, you got your idea about it, and I got my idea. Your sign says to run 50 miles an hour. I'll have to spin my wheels and run 75. You see what the sheriff does to you. You say, you got your idea and I got mine. He said, yeah, my idea is to put you behind bars and lock the door and throw away the key. You love Jesus? So there ain't no ideas about it. That's foolishness. God sent a ministry to preach the gospel. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That same mighty Holy Ghost that spoke through Peter speaks through me today and speaks through the ministry, saying, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, that you might receive the Holy Ghost. Repent or perish. I'm going to say this again. I don't believe that you can send your life away and run down the last minute on your deathbed and say, Lord, I killed 50 people and I wrecked the lives of 500 people and I put the eyes out of 2,500 people and I'm sorry, I want to go to heaven and God take you in. I don't believe in that. No, sir, I don't believe you can do it. If you can do it, that's all right. Go on to it, but I don't believe you can do it. God told Esau what to do and Esau didn't do it. And Esau said, I'm going to get rid of that birthright. He said, it's no good to me. He said, I need something for my belly. God said, go ahead. And he went ahead. And he lived many years after that. But the day he come to get the birthright, he bawled and he squalled. And he said, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do it. But the Bible said, though he sought repentance with bitter tears, he carefully sought it. He just didn't run up. He carefully sought it with bitter tears. But Paul said he found no place of repentance because he had sold his birthright. Folks, you play around on God and you do wrong and you do evil and you throw your life away and you hurt people and you tear down the kingdom of God and you do all these evil things and run up and you think God's going to forgive you for it. But you got another thought coming. You better stop and think while you can. You better call on Him and you better get your wretched life straightened out and give God a chance to help you and to do right. Don't be running up there at the last minute. You might be an Esau. You might bawl and bellow, but it won't do you no good. All right, so God is good. Nobody good but God. Let's sing this little chorus together. I just felt like preaching to you tonight and saying a few things. It's a sad time. How many of you know it's a sad time? Did you know, while they're playing on the organ, I want you to listen just for a minute. I left here, we went over to Europe, we had the camp meeting, and you know what all that spells because you know the revelation of it. What happened when we went down at Way Cross and when we came back and went down to Brother Dahl's down there to the little widow, down to Sister Blake, she's like a widow because Brother Blake stays gone all the time. Had to do with the widow coming out of the veil. Went down there, and you remember how that I said we got down that little old lane that leads back to the woods. They cut every bit of it off. And their camp back there, the fish camp, is completely exposed to the superhighway. We went over to Brother Dahl's, and you know how I brought out the thought. I said, Brother Dahl is like the little widow. Isn't that right? Brother Dahl is like the little widow. He sat in the backside of a place where nobody comes to see him. He said, Brother Pike, I'm so glad you come to see me. He said, nobody don't never come to see me. And he was having a hard time about to lose his car and lose the other things. And I just had told my wife how it had to do with the little widow that's going out there. And he looked at his car and he said, Brother Pike, he said, that's my living. I'd sat in his living room and made the statement, not even thinking what I was saying, even after I told my wife about it being the little widow. I sat in the living room and he's talking to me. And I said, Brother Dahl, I'm like Elijah. I believe in going where God says go. You have to leave the 99. And him not even thinking, he got up and walked out the back door and pointed to his little old car. And he said, that's all my living. He said, it's tore up. And the Lord made a way for him. But we come back. So many things happen that we could say there. Come back. And we went out to Jonesboro. I told you how that the tent was to go out. I brought it out the other night about the flies and the plagues. Tekoa, the strong man, the man child, all those things. But see, when we come back through Memphis, It was dark. It was night. And over the morning, when we come back through there, the Lord began to talk with us. We was talking about the famous Rock King coming through. And how I was so glad that I didn't go in that direction. You know, him and Pat Boone's running a parallel. How do you know that? Pat's running a typical thing of the man-child, and Elvis was running a typical thing of Lucifer. I made that statement. How you remember how Pat received this ministry and wrote back and praised it? Elvis got the literature and never did praise it. Never did confess it. They're the two most famous around the country. In Sweden, they praise both of them over there. Worldwide, man of renown. How do you remember here a while back when they had that great big parade and had the floats going down the street? They took Pat Boone and portrayed him as Jesus and Elvis Presley as Lucifer or an imp. I remember that. See, they're following that pattern. That confirmed it when they did that. But anyway, we was coming back through there. As we come back through there, the Lord showed us some things. We come through there, come on down to Olive Branch to Junior McKellum's place. Couldn't find a place to park because so many cars and trucks in the yard. Went up on Highway 55 and pulled up on a little mount. You know, Mount of Olives, a place called The Rest. Said his feet would set upon the Mount of Olives. The Elegans are coming from Reuben the Firstborn and Waycross, and you understand what I'm saying. Pulled up there to rest for that night. Brother Taylor didn't know we was there. But God led him over to us that morning with Dwight. And I brought out the other night, Dwight, you know, like Eisenhower's name means iron, the man child. Dwight was over at the tent with the trumpet, you know, the trump of God. But anyway, we come back through there and there we was over there on that mountain. Brother Taylor and him came over. Dwight come in and there we sat. We ate together while Brother Taylor took little Gracie and Joe and Danny. We spoke of the little foolish things, you know, like the two prophets and Grace going to the Jews as he went to the big star back over at Olive Branch while me and Dwight and him ate some breakfast. Dwight stayed with us till we got to Alabama, which has to do with the heart of the Dixie. But there it was. You know, they call that little motorhome we got, they call that the mansion. They call it the mansion on the cloud. Is that what they call it? But anyway, here it was. The woman in that dusty place over the Mississippi, would have to do with the Jordan, going out. Brother Delma, the woman, Brother Terrell, Brother Branham, the end of that move out in the desert, the drought. And then the eastern perspective of it picking up. The man-child having been born, the woman going away into the wilderness. And the Lord showed me so carefully, Elvis Presley. I said, why do I have to go back by the way of Whitehaven? But Whitehaven was where we put out the little book called The Book of Life that had to do with this place right here. The Davison came from over there. Whereas David had written to Elvis Presley and sent him the literature from here. He had received it, sent his signature back. It was a registered letter that he had personally had received it. But anyway, the Lord showed so beautifully how that Elvis had to do with Lucifer. And how that he moved his body and rolled his body and how he deceived the woman in the garden. And how it went back to the old blood birth. And how he deceived the whole world by working on their passions. Rolling his body and suggesting evil to them. The old serpent, the oval snake, the rock and roll. That took the whole world and corrupted the whole world. Living over there in Grace Mansion. And it was Grace Mansion. When God lets people like that continue on, you better believe it's grace. But all of a sudden, the grace was over. In that second heaven that he was in, Lucifer went out. He had sold his soul to Satan. Fell down on that red carpet, that old blood life, that old red serpent going out. The old red dragon. You remember how we took it off the board? You remember the story about the princes and the dragon. And so then he came out of Grace Mansion. Grace was over. He came out. No grace for him anymore. He came out. Came out of what? He came out of White Haven. He came out of the heaven. White Haven. The old serpent, he came out of Grace Mansion. The blood coming off the mercy seat, that red carpet, no grace any longer. A third part of the heavens, the stars praising him, mourning over him, falling with him into his debauchery because God rejected every one of them that favored him. They fell with him. They just don't know it. God will despise them through their life and in the coming judgment. Out they went with him. 400,000 people. When he came to Atlanta, Georgia, drawed over 80,000 people. In Atlanta, Georgia, said it was the biggest that any star had ever drawn. Said no star had ever equaled that. No entertainer. Sam Houston Auditorium, when the pillar of fire appeared over William Branham's head. You've seen the picture. The auditorium is packed out. 8,000 people. But did he draw 8,000 people at his death? He drawed about 45 times that many at his death. Or over 40 times that many at his death. People mourning over me. No telling how many hundreds of thousands that didn't go to the funeral still mourned over him. 400,000 there, but how many hundreds of thousands outside of that? A third part of humanity, as you would say, all of the world, bewailing and mourning over one of the most corrupt men that ever walked the earth. There, the old serpent went out. Lucifer went out. The king went out. Isn't that right? Why was that? Because it was over for the woman, the perspective part of Brother Branham, that part out there of the travail, caught up into the mind, the revelation of Christ, the man-child at last come up into that third realm. That second heaven, Satan couldn't stay in it any longer because there's no need for a blood covering in that second realm anymore. Why put a blood covering in that realm? The woman's travail's over. She don't have to have that grace there anymore. The child can't be marked by the old beastly part anymore. He's gone up. So the woman goes into the wilderness, the tribulation part. Isn't that right? Look at the United States. What do they want to do? Withdraw from the UN. The United States talking about withdrawing from the UN. That's crazy. You understand what I'm saying? When Roosevelt started the UN, that was the time we ought to have left it alone. But we've let everything from beatniks to rock and rolls and witches and wizards and everything from the foreign lands come in here. And they've corrupted our nation. If there ever was a time to stay in the UN, it's now. Because America started the UN. And if America pulls out of the UN the way the nations hate her right now, and Russia knows that she don't have to fight the rest of the world to blow us off of the map, that'll be the first thing she does. As long as she realizes she's got to fight the other nations, she ain't going to touch America. But Jimmy Carter and the government's going slap crazy. Fixing to get the people blown to bits, just like Brother Branham said he saw. Brother Branham said the system would be over in 77. It is over. It is over. If Jimmy Carter had done what he's done, if any other president had done what Jimmy Carter had done, it'd have counted treason and put him in prison for life. He's broke the Constitution of the United States and overrode millions of Baptist people that said, "You can't do it, Jimmy," but he done it anyway. They stopped Roosevelt, but they didn't stop Jimmy. And now they're talking about coming out of the UN. All right, so I might sound like I'm beside myself. Paul said, if I am, it's for Christ. Folks, you're just about ready to be blown off of the map and don't realize it. You're really fixing to undergo some severe things. Pray always that you might be accounted worthy to escape them things that's coming on the earth. Your little old finite mind, because you got a couple of years in college, that don't mean nothing. There's a God somewhere, And there's a word from God, and I'm telling you about it. And he ain't playing. You're no more than a little old flea in his sight. He that made the earth and every blade of grass and every bug and every chigger. He that made the stars and every atom. He that made the great ocean and every species that's in there. God, eternal God. Talking about God. You're not even as much as a speck in his sight unless you belong to Jesus Christ. Your appearance, your age, your fame, your popularity, it don't mean nothing to God. But anyway, the old serpent went out. The man child went up. The blood off of the mercy seat. The woman goes into the tribulation, into the wilderness. Now, when I spoke of Jimmy Carter being caught up, is it any coincidence that at the time he's caught up, Elvis Presley goes out? Is it any coincidence that I said at this time, when you, the membership of God, is caught up, that Elvis Presley goes out and multiplied hundreds of thousands of people in the earth go out of the presence of God with him because it's evident that he had their heart? They even said the thing that caused his problem was an uncertain beat of the heart. That's what causes your problem when you get out of tune with God. You get an uncertain beat of the heart. You love Jesus? I'm not scolding you. I'm just trying to tell you in a way that'll snap you to your senses. You know, people, you can't tell people nothing. They hear you talk and they say, well, that's your idea about it. But folks, when I talk, I want to tell you in a way to snap you to attention, let you know I ain't talking about somebody's idea. I'm talking about the Word of God, what God said about it. When the prophets of old came, they didn't come with somebody's idea or go off to college like Billy Graham and some of the others to get tutored so they could come back and tell you how to live good in this world. I'm telling you what God said about it. You say, well, I don't believe it's what God said about it. Well, why has it happened that way? Why has it happened just exactly down the line like we said it would? Somebody said, well, I ain't seen it like that. Well, that's because you're blind. And the Bible said you're not seeing when good cometh. If you wasn't blind, you could see it. You don't want to see it. You don't want to love the truth. God's turned you over to reprobate mind. You believe a lie, you'll be damned because you believe you're right when you're wrong. All right? So then everything is in bad shape. Real bad shape. And the tribulation period is already setting in. That man-child's went up to God. That blood's coming off of the mercy seat. The days of the Gentiles is closing out. No more to be saved. They say, scientists show that the next 15 years, they say for the next 15 or 20 years, that every summer, every year of summertime will get hotter. Now I want you to listen to me. Scientists say that every year from here on out will get hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter. How are you going to stand it? This year it set a record. The Bible said it would get so hot they would curse God and blaspheme his name because of the fierce heat. And they say every winter from here on out is going to be colder and more severe than before. Said it'll go on for the next 20 years. Well, you know that can't be. Come on, folks. As hot as this summer was, you tell me it's going to get hotter and hotter and we're going to survive 20 years? You know better than that. Ain't nobody going to survive no heat. 20 years, it's going to get hotter and hotter from what it's been this summer. And ain't nobody going to survive no cold. That's going to continue to get colder and colder than it was this past winter. It ain't going to be. A few licks of that and we'll all be dead, folks. And the Lord said, lest he come back, it wouldn't be any flesh spared. Wouldn't be none to rapture away, would it? Or to change. It's bad times, folks. It's critical. I read in the paper today, right here in your own little locality, over here in Athens, they said the plagues of bugs and different things has moved in and just devoured the crops.
And the scarcity of that which it takes for prevention makes it even worse. Said a man set fire to, was it 20? How many? I can't remember how many acres of corn down in South Georgia. Multiplied acres of corn. Said he just stuck a match to it and burned it up because the sun had already burned it up. He said it ain't doing nothing but cluttering up the ground. Said I can't get nothing out of it. Sad times, folks. Said the bugs over here in Athens said it's just ruined the crops. The drought has ruined most of it. Now the bugs is getting the rest of it. It's sad times. It's down near your door. I'm talking about around your hometown now. Put your money in the bank. I asked them to take this little bank out here. I said, folks, you built your little old place together here to put your money and work together. Nah, not me. So you stuck it in the bank up yonder, didn't you? And now what's the government doing? We've got at least two or more here where the government didn't ask them anything, but went into their bank account and took what they wanted to out of it and let their checks come back bad that they had wrote to different people. Ruining their credit when they didn't even know nothing about it. The government didn't send no letter, didn't send no word, didn't ask permission. You call that democracy? You call that the Constitution that our forefathers set up? That's dictatorship. The mark is already set in under the computerized system. You know that. Out on the West Coast and even here, they've already given them a secret number in their head. They've already got it. Done talked to some of them about it. You've already got it in your night banking. But they've already got it where they have to memorize it in their head. And they're already using it down at the local markets and the banks and all of their doings. You know what's going to happen? Just like when they took Brother Wayne's money out of the bank a few days ago and Brother Frank Beretta money out of the bank. Didn't tell them nothing, just took their money out. Didn't send them no kind of word. You know what's going to happen? People are going to start withdrawing from the banks. We've done got some people here that's done took their money out of the bank, so they ain't putting no more up there. You know what's going to happen when they do that? You can't control people unless you have their money. And the Bible said he maketh both small and great, rich and poor, all bonds and free to take the mark. What does that mean? That means come under the computerized system. All of it. The government's going to force everything under the computer. Everything. It's already got you under the computer. You know that. Now what's going to happen? When you start taking your money out, they're going to stop paying you money because they can't control you. They're going to do just like they're doing the people that's on pensions right now. They're asking the people that's on pension to please let them just keep their check and not send them a check at all. And let them put it in the bank. And when they get that money to where they can put it in the bank, then they're going to see an easy way to save money and to control you. They've already took away the value of the money. There's no gold coverage anymore. You're not a stockholder. You don't have a democracy. You don't have a government that's by the people and for the people. You don't have that because of no gold coverage. There's just one monetary thing, and that's what the government issues as a note. And when they finally get as many as they can to surrender to that thing of them taking your check and putting it in the bank to save you all the trouble, they say that it's going to cause you cut down on crime by keeping your money so nobody won't rob you. When they finally get as many people as will volunteer to that, then they'll force the rest to do it. And then when they get to where they don't have to issue your check, there won't be any more checks. They'll see where they can do away with the secretaries and do away with the paper and do away with the printing and the machines and save millions of dollars, and all they'll do is computerize a number over to the bank, and you'll have access to that number that'll be computerized down to the market and wherever, and they'll still have control of you. Because when the people start taking their money out of the bank, they're going to put it under a computerized system because they can't control the people anymore. And you can rest assured that when you go into a man's bank account like they did Wayne's the other day, that they're going to close out the bank account. Did you close yours out, Wayne? Yeah, there you go right there. He closed his out already, and a number of others closed theirs out. I don't blame him, do you? If every man could come in my house down there without without knocking on the door, I'd change the lock on my door, wouldn't you? Or I'd change my living place, would. So it's sad times, folks. You're a little farther down the trail than you think you are. I'm not mad at you. I'm not screaming at you. I'm just trying to get you to come to your senses, and who else ever else might hear these tapes by radio or whatever. I'm trying to get you to listen. It's sad times. What are we going to do? Are we going to sit here and let a charismatic group sweep over the world with a religious trend that allows people to do every low-down thing in the world and deceive ourselves into thinking that God's going to let us into the kingdom of heaven with that kind of trash? Because that's what it is. I know there's a lot of good people mixed up among it. God will bring them out just like he did out of the movements. But are you going to sit idly by and do that? I'm going to say this in closing. Are you going to do like Mordecai said to Esther? He said, Esther, you're in the kingdom. Said, you're up here with the celebrities. And I say this to some of the doctors and the dentists. And I say this to some of the governmental authorities, which are Pentecostal people. Some of them that's been filled with the Holy Ghost. I say it to them. You're up there like Esther. You're in those realms. Don't you ever forget, Mordecai said to Esther, you might be close to the king, but today they pin down on Holy Ghost filled people, they'll get you too. Are you going to sit there and let them do it? Are you going to be a reprobate and go along with the filth of the world, or are you going to stand up for God? Just like when Shambach set his tent out in Texas, and the mayor came out there and said, Shambach, you're going to take this tent down. Shambach said, God told me to put it up. And he said, if God told me to put it up, said, I ain't going to take it down. The mayor said, you'll take it down. I'll see that you take it down or have you locked up. Shambach said, God told me to put it up, and I ain't going to take it down. So the mayor went back, and the mayor told some of the police authorities, said, you go lock him up. They pulled off their badges, and they laid it down and said, sir, said, we are filled with the Holy Ghost. Said, we ain't going to lock up a man of God. Said, you know better than that. So the man went on with his meeting. You understand what I'm saying, folks? Let's stand up for God. Them men stood up for God. Let's stand up for God. Let's stand up for Jesus. We got a chance now. But Mordecai said, Esther, you better do something about it. You know, Esther began to fast, and she began to pray, and they began to pray. And God gave them favor, and they got a hold of the king's heart. And the first news you know, the king went and checked the records, and like the sermon I preached, he cleared the books. And brother, if we'll ring the prayer bells of heaven and call on God, God will check the records, and God will clear the books. Hallelujah. And he'll bring in that government that we're expecting, and we'll have the right thing. Can we sing a little chorus together? If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and you have to get along on Megafair, sing it with me. Oh, just remember in God's word how he fed the little birds. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Can you sing it with me? Oh, leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there.